Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
That's right, here it is, Wednesday, February 27th. 2013 here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands, and we got a heck of a show for you lined up tonight. We're going to get a chance to talk about some of our favorite topics, women taking over daddy roles when it comes to their kids' sports. That's right. I said women taking over the aggressive daddy role when it comes to sports. We're going to also talk about 7-on-7. Are they good or bad for our young athletes in football? We're going to tap into a little bit of the state championship. That's right, I said state championship of the Dillard High School Panthers. Miss Pender has struck again, folks, in the state of Florida with the success that she is having here in the state of Florida, dominating when it comes to female basketball. Also, we're going to get into a little bit of one of the strongest matchups. Everyone in Broward and Dade County have been looking for years. That's right. I said it, for years. And you don't want to miss this because you want to make sure that you are in the place when this takes place. That's right. Here on the Tony Sands Show, for those that are tuning in, I am Tony Sands. This is a Tony Sands Show, and we're talking sports. That's right, people. We're talking sports. If you want to call the show, you call the show at 530-413-9537. That's right. I said it, line 1, 530-413-9537. If you're in Canada, outside the United States, that's the best thing about the Tony Sands Show, that you can reach us in Canada. Is 888-429-5471. I said it. That's right. Toll free 1-888-429-5471. Call here on the Tony Sands Show and let's talk to me about some of these topics that we're going to talk about tonight. I want to get your opinion on these topics because they are so great. Women, I want to hear from you. I want to know, do you think that you are becoming the dads in sports? Let's get into a little bit of that. But like I told you, you can also call us here at 530-513-6472 on the Tony Sands Show. But let's not wait. Let's not hold off. Let's get right into it. Let's dig into our topic. That's right. I said women taking over daddy roles when it comes to sports. Women are becoming the aggressor. I'm seeing it throughout the country. You're starting to see more of the moms taking that leadership role when it comes to sports. When dad used to be along the fence telling the young man, hey, you got to get it together. You got to get your head up. You got to get your head into the game. I'm seeing women saying these things. And it's so different from me because I didn't come up under that era. I came up under an era where dad would say, hey, son, you got to get it together. You got to make sure that you're ready to go. Get your head in the game. And mom would be the one that say, that's all right, baby. You can get it the next play. The next play is be great for you. Keep your head up, son. Mom loves you. That's changed drastically. Why I say it's changed, because I'm on the front lines of this battle. I run a training business also, folks, for those that do not know. I am Mr. Get Sensational. That's right. I said it. Mr. Get Sensational. Why you call me Get Sensational? If you understand, I am sensational and my last name is Sans. That's why they call me Mr. Get Sensational, because I get you right. But when my phone ring, I get so many women calling me about their kids and the success of their kids and how can I get their kids right. And I'm saying to myself, okay, this must be a single parent home. This must be someone whose dad not in the picture, doesn't have an uncle or something like that. But come to find out, there is a dad or there is an uncle. But mom has taken that role to make sure that, I guess, everything is right. Everything is on point. Everything is what it is. And I'm saying to myself, wow, that's something that I got to get used to, I guess, in this new day and era of women being that aggressive. More women are becoming active in sports. There are more women coaching now. And if you look at the University of Kansas male basketball team has a female strength coach. That's something new. And if you really research that, and I talked to some of the guys, I had an opportunity to talk to some of the guys that play basketball for the University of Kansas, and the one thing they said, it was different being taught strength and conditioning by a female versus a male. But they tell you, she competes with them. She makes them work. Because if not, she's going to outlift them, and you don't want to be outlifted by a female. So the tides are changing. And I guess those of us that are dads must get used to it. Women are taking that role. And I say to myself, that could be for several reasons. Are women now understanding that there's a value to what they've birthed? Especially if that kid has a great upside in athletic, whether it be basketball, football, track, whatever have you. Or are dads working so much that women must take this role? I know back in my day, like I said, it was something that dads did. Despite working so much, dads was the ones that was taking it to the practices. Mom stayed home, and when you came home after having a hard day by your dad kicking your butt, do you say to yourself, Mom, man, he's gotten on my nerves. He's aggravated me so much that I can't take it. And moms tell you, all right, baby, don't worry. It'll be all right. And mom go tell dad, hey, kind of ease up off him. Ease up a little bit off him so, you know, he'll get it right the next time. Now, moms are getting on their butts right then. Hey, son, you get it right now. I need you to get it together. I need you to get it together and be that aggressive. Like I told you, call in here and let's charm in on this topic. Toll free, 888-429-5471. Are women stepping outside of their boundaries? Let's continue to talk that here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to head to a commercial break. Then we're going to come back with who? Someone that knows how to win. You're going to get a chance to hear her talk about her success and how her team is doing here on the Tony Sands Show. But let's head to a commercial break, and we're going to come right back at you with who? The Dilla Panthers.
Sensational parties and more by Clandra Sands. Where they decorate for your occasion. Whether it's for weddings, baby showers, anniversary, graduations, homecoming, charities, proms, and more, give them a call. They have it all. She caters to all Tri-County areas, Palm Beach County, Broward, and Dade County. Also, ask about affordable party packages. She has one to fit your party budget. Call and mention this ad and receive $50 off your service. That's right, $50 off your services. Presented to you by Sensational Parties and More by Clandra Sands. Call at 954-708-0581. That's 954-708-0581. Call now.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Players in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show, and I am Tony Sands. For those that are joining in, just joining in to the Tony Sands Show, we're giving it to you. Our early topic was about women taking over in a male-dominant world of sports. Are women becoming too aggressive? But let's tap into a woman that is being very successful at her craft, at her art. That is the phenomenal winning as coach in the state of Florida, and I consider one of the best to ever coach high school girls basketball. That is Miss Pender of Dillard High School, have won her fourth straight state title. Dillard beat Lakewood 47-41 in the state championship. Let's go into and let's listen at what she had to say after she won her state title. This is Miss Pender of Dillard High School.
Amazing. We set out to be here, and this was our ultimate goal. We knew we had to do so many things to prepare to get here. We tried to attend as many hard tournaments to get us prepared. And I think the tournament that we participated in really, truly helped us for anything that would come upon us.
It was a close game today. Was there any point where you were a little concerned? You seemed like you had it in control, but it got close sometimes.
Once we had them to relax and calm down and to run our sets, they were okay. Defensively, we missed a couple of assignments, but I was very impressed with our girls helping each other when we was out of our area.
And how does it feel being a four-time champion?
Ooh, it feels
great.
It feels good.
It feels good. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Folks, that was Miss Pender talking about how it felt to win a full state championship in the state of Florida in female basketball. It is tough to chase those type of championships. Four straight. I can understand you in the area you win two in one area and two in another decade, but she's won four straight in a row. So hats off to the Dillard Panthers girls basketball. And I got to take even more of an interest in this because I had an opportunity to train these young ladies during their off season. And I love being around this group of young ladies. They were hardworking. They wanted success. They taste a state championship and they continue to want it. But not only are the girls dominating coming from out of Broward County, we have six high school boys basketball teams from Broward Palm Beach County that is head up to the state champion semifinals. Blanche Ely is on the brink of becoming the third Broward County high school ever to win a consecutive boys basketball state championship. The Tigers have won Class 7A title last year and are ranked number 18 in USA Today Super 25 national polls. Are one of six teams from Broward, Palm Beach counties heading to Lakeland this weekend for the state tournament, which takes place Tuesday, through Saturday at the Lakeland Civic Center. Edie hopes to match and defeat of Dillard's 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, and Pinecrest 2008, 2009 back-to-back winners. And this is the boys that I'm talking about, not the girls, because you know the girls has won. Dillard girls has won 4, which will join Broward County Elite, Deerfield Beach 8A, American Heritage 5A, and Coral Springs Christian 3A, St. Andrews 4A, and Grandview Prep 2A will also represent Palm Beach County in a boys basketball state championship. Broward and Palm Beach will be well represented in the classifications throughout the state of Florida. State of Florida have 8 classification, and as I told you, out of 8 classifications, you got Deerfield Beach representing the 8A, American Heritage representing the 5A. You got Coral Springs Christian representing the 3A, St. Andrews 4A, and Grandview Perry 2A. They're dominating, folks. They are dominating the landscape. They're dominating the landscape. It is spectacular to see this taking place. But let's get into also a little bit of this thing I call 707. 7 on 7. Is it good for our young athletes? 7-on-7s, are they good for our young athletes? There's so many 7-on-7 tournaments here. But before we get into that, and before we get into a lot of our topics, we have one of our great insiders that is will join us here on the Tony Sands Show. And I'm going to go ahead and bring him in. He's going to come in. We're going to talk draft talk, but we're going to talk a little 7-on-7s. Are they good for the game? Are they not? What is happening to him? But let me introduce him. Mr. Bibbs, welcome to the Tony Sands Show, man. What's happening?
What's going on, Tony? How you doing today?
Man, I'm enjoying myself, man. We got some great topics. Now, you know, one of the topics that I had in the top of the hour, I'm talking about how women are taking over dad's role when it comes to their kids' sports. Are women becoming too aggressive in sports? I know, like I told people, I was so used to, you know, my dad being the aggressive guy, telling him, hey, my son, you got to get your head in the game. You got to play. You got to be ready to go. And then I would turn to mom, and mom was going to give me that, baby, it's going to be all right. That's what I was used to. But not now, man. I mean, you're seeing the moms take on that role. Son, you better get your head in this game. What's going on? Are you guys seeing a lot of that out in the Dallas area?
Yeah, definitely. I really think that's something that's, you know, a trend that's going on in the U.S. now. You know, women are, you know, stepping up to the plate when it comes to sports. They're almost, I wouldn't say they're in the same boat as men in general, but they're there. And letting themselves be known that they're there. So, you know, and not to mention, you talk about, you know, the moms taking over in sports. Sometimes these kids, all they have are their mothers, you know. These young guys that's playing football at the young age, all they have is their mother. No father around, so, you know, the mother has to be the one to step up to the plate and, you know, do what she has to do to get her child where he needs to get to.
Correct. But I guess for me, and it would be hard for me to understand from a standpoint, when I call mom, I needed that sympathetic ear. I needed mom to give me that sympathetic ear. I didn't need mom to tell me, son, you better get your butt back out there on that football field and you better play. I needed that mom to say, baby, it's going to be okay. You know, hey, you're all right. You can make a mistake. It's okay to make a mistake. Because, you know, and in my time, moms weren't so competitive. They wasn't as competitive as they are now. I don't know if it's that, like you say, you know, the lack of male role models around our young men today, young men and young women, as we say, or women are just starting to say, hey, guys, you're just not getting the job done. Because I'm seeing it even in 2 households. Parents that's been raised by both. I'm saying that I get more calls from more of moms setting up their kids' training schedule. Yeah. And I'm saying to myself, well, darn, dad must be not around. And all of a sudden, I see dad bringing the kids. So I'm like, Wow.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, the world has evolved, you know, and it's evolved to where, you know, women are taking care of a lot of the business, you know, and that might be just what's going on. You get a lot of calls from the mom for the simple fact that she's probably more business-minded, or she's dealing with the kids more so than the father. But in some cases, you just have those type of women. They're just as competitive as a man. So they're not as soft, like you said, your mother was, compassionate about your feelings. Some mothers are just like, hey, you need to get back out here and get this together and get this done. Because they know what it takes, or they see what it could take, or they've seen it happen in the past, and they know they don't want it to slip through again, you know?
Now, you said one word, where it can take off to. Is that becoming also a driving force in this? Because, you know, it was a driving force with men for so long that, hey, you know, my son make it, there's a possibility that I can someday retire faster than what I thought. You know, because you've seen so many times that, you know, we as a dad, I'm a dad. And I guess I had to understand it because, you know, the first time you see a young man on television, dads, you know, may drive me to the football games all them times. Mom sat on, first thing they say is, "Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom, what's going on? Hi, Mom, I'm going to buy your dad a house." But you very rarely him say, "Hi, Dad." I don't know if it's a male ego thing or if it's just that, hey, despite it all, I don't care what you do, Mom is Mom. Mom is the nurturer of me.
Mom,
and that's why
Mom typically gets the most credit when it comes to that. That's why, you know, I was the same way with my parents. My dad and my mom both raised me, but I was more, you know, attracted to my mom because I guess she's a that compassionate person. She's the one I was with the majority of the time, you know, since birth, basically. So, cool. You know, you kind of have that you are, you're just, you know, drawn to your mother more so than your father at times.
But that's what I'm saying. You need that nurturing. That's what I'm expecting my mom to give me. I wasn't expecting Mom to be tough because I didn't see Mom as being tough. I see Mom as my, you know, and not to say no, because my mom was an athlete. And, you know, my mom was a track star. So she understood what it felt like to compete or what it was like to compete. When she was in high school, she was one of the top sprinters here in the state of Florida in her years. And I knew she understood what it takes to compete, but I needed her in the sense of, hey, you know, it's going to be all right. I needed to hear that, Mom. You know, everybody needs to hear that mom tell baby it's going to be okay. And that kind of dusts you off. Sometime when dad tells you, son, it's going to be all right, you're like, man, I don't want to hear that, man.
I ain't trying to hear that. Huh?
You know, you take that word more from Mom. Man, I don't want to hear that, man. Yeah. Get on out of here. But when Mom said it has more meaning to it. You know, it has a little bit more meaning to it. And the top on that, let's continue, because this week was a very important week for a lot of families throughout the country, people. And why do I say that? The NFL draft took place in Indianapolis for a lot of young men. Not only is the draft taking place, there are regional combines that are taking place. Something that didn't happen so much when I was playing ball, you're starting to see them pop up now. I think the NFL is starting to understand that, okay, we're going to have one big show, but we need a lot of other shows to make sure that we're covering the complete college landscape. But B, there's two positions that takes precedent to me, more so than any position outside of the quarterback position when it comes to athletes at the combine. And that is the defensive backs and the wide receivers. So many, the defensive backs so much be that they just save them for one day, and that's the last day of the combine. Why you think DB is looked at as a glamorous position now in the NFL?
First and foremost, it's one of the highest paid positions in the NFL. Those kids or those men make the most money, or close to the most money in the NFL. So that's one reason. And you stick these kids out here on the last day just because these are like the most highly regarded skill positions on the field besides playing quarterback or running back. The wide receiver catches passes. They catch touchdown passes. They score. That sells correct. Ticket. Defensive back guard the receivers. They try to stop the team from, I mean, the receivers from getting to the end zone and scoring.
Correct.
That's the ticket. So why not put these, your best two prospects or your best group of prospects at the end of the NFL draft combine and let the world see how great of athletes they are supposed to be.
And that they are. They are some of our elite positions when it comes to football because of the phenom of the passing game that has taken place within the last 5 years in the NFL at the college level. Those two positions are looked at as glamorous positions. The phenom of the receivers have to be 6'2" and aggressive has right. taken so much of a toll over the last 10 years. When you look at when Michael Irvin came out and he was a big aggressive receiver. I think he really modernized and changed the way the wide receiver was looked at on the line of scrimmage because he was that aggressive wide receiver. He beat you down as a defensive back. And then when primetime Deion Sanders came on the scene, he revolutionized the defensive back position to where you consider now a defensive back. When you think about him, you think about him as a shut down corner. Darryl Green was what people would say be as the original Deion Sanders, but Deion Sanders made the position so glamorous from a standpoint that you had to be at least 6 foot to compete with the 6 foot receivers. And yep. Michael Irvin made that known.
And you know what we're starting to see now, Tony? We're starting to see a lot of these cornerbacks become 6 feet and over. And that's what the NFL is looking for. Just check out these two cornerbacks over in Seattle for the Seahawks. Wow. You got what Sherman and was it how you say his last name? Borrower or whatever.
Yeah,
those are some pretty big cornerbacks. And on top of that, they both can run. When you got size like that, what can you do? I mean, that's exactly what you need against these big physical receivers, like you said, Michael Irvin was in his day, and what we have now in the NFL, like you would see, like a Dwayne Bowe or Calvin Johnson. Big physical receivers that can run down the field. You need size at cornerback. Not to say that your little cornerback still couldn't make it off of pure athleticism, but size and speed is what's really starting to take over in the NFL.
It's going to be tough for me to be 6'5", for a guy to be 6'5", and let's be realistic. For a guy to be 6'5", and here we have a corner that's about 5'8". That corner's going to have a tough, tough time matching up against that receiver. I don't care how we look at it. And now, you know, and I'm on the side of a small guy because I am a small guy. But I am realistic when it comes to a guy understanding that, hey, you have to be at least nowadays at least 6'3". And they're not looking so much for the speed guy. For the simple fact, the speed guy, it's tough for that guy to turn his hips when he can move so, so fast. But I need you to be able to turn your hips. When you look at Sherman is 6'3". And if you ever, let me tell you, I stood next to this guy. And this guy is a beast. And he remind me of Al Harris when Al played the position with the dreads. And I used to call Al, because I trained Al, and I used to call Al the predator of the DB. I called him the predator because his hair hung so long. And if you ever seen the movie and you saw the predator and his hair was, it looked like the predator had dreads, but it wasn't dreads. But these guys are so big. And then you look at Brandon Browner, 6'4". 221 pounds. Man, these guys, I'm going to tell you, they look like massive oak trees. when you see them. Massive oak trees. And Seattle don't want the short DB. I think the shortest DB that they have in their two-depth roster is Marcus Tufant. And, you know, Marcus Tufant, you know, he's a guy that played in the years, 10 years out of Washington State. And he's 5'11", right, and he's 5'11", 197 pounds. Jeremy Lane, their second guy, Brown, is 6'190". So these guys are becoming the next generation of what we're expecting out of a defensive back, because they got to play these big, big receivers. Let's kind of get into a little bit of breaking down the DB position here on the Tony Sands Show. But before we do that, Bibbs, let's head to a commercial break. Guys, when you come back, we're going to break down Mr. Honey Badger and how he did at the NFL Combine after we do this commercial break. Stay tuned.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now. Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, because Sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins, and wraps, and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking. For an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress. Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gonna ball. Yeah, I'm gonna be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. For those that are just tuning in to the show, you can call us and chime in on our topics. If you are anywhere in the country, you could tune in to the Tony Sands Show. All you got to do is call toll free 888-429-5471. That's in the U.S. and Canada. Or you can call us here on 530-513-6472. That's 530-513-6472 here on the Tony Sands Show. You're joining in with Tony Sands and Mr. Bibbs, my insider when it comes to sports. That's right. I said it, Mr. Bibbs, my main man out of the Texas areas. Mr. B, let's get into breaking down some of the top corners and where their position, how they position themselves here in the next couple weeks for the NFL draft. What do you think about my main man that's out of Alabama?
Mr. Milliner.
Yes, Mr. Milliner, the man that electrified the 40 at the Combine this past Tuesday. Give me some insight on this young man.
Well, first, like you said, his 40 time was amazing. I mean, he has elite speed, and that's what you look for in a cornerback that you're trying to draft in the first round, basically. He ran a, 4.37 in the 40, That correct. Was like what the second fastest time to what was his name? Chris Johnson for the Tennessee Titans back in 2008. He ran 4.28. So right there, you know he has speed. And on top of that, he's 6 feet tall, 206 pounds. This is a big corner, not one of those small guys. Not a small corner like what you say, a 5'9" corner that, you know, maybe just has speed, but he actually has some size to him. So he's, I feel like he could project very well over to the NFL with that size and that speed. In college, he made a lot of plays. He played as a sophomore at the University correct. Of Alabama. He played on a team with full of loaded. They were loaded with nothing but NFL talent, and he still was able to, you know, pick his way into the lineup. So that right there speaks for itself that you know the kid can play if he's able to play at Alabama correct. On a national championship team.
And you're well that's coached.
Two national championship teams on top of that. Very right. well coached. What one thing, only one thing I can say about him is, you know, Nick Saban doesn't really coach his cornerbacks to backpedal a lot, you know.
Correct.
And so we're going to have to see him, what he can do as far as backpedaling and getting up the field with some of these elite wide receivers. But I honestly, with the athleticism that he's gifted with, I don't really see him having a big issue with, you know, getting on the field and, you know, maybe becoming that impact corner that some team out there is looking for.
Now, and a guy like you said, a physical corner like him, a guy like him, if you're going to a team like Seattle that bump and press, then your ability to backpedal, I don't have to worry about so much because you're very rarely backpedaling. You're up in the line. You're up in a guy's face. You're physical. You're right there with him. Soon, the most you got to be able to do is shift your feet and move your hips. So it depends on what team he goes to, a team that picks him up, because when you look at the top 15 picks, it's probably going to be only one corner go anyway. And I think that he'll be the corner that go. But he got to, it's got to be a great fit for a corner like him. But let's go to LSU. Let's go to LSU now and Mr. Honey Badger himself. Now, we know people that Honey Badger had some off-the-field issues. And the one thing about the NFL, this thing called character is big with them. And does this hurt him, or does his performance at the combine supersedes all the misconceptions that teams might have had about him? What you think about that, Mr. B?
Well, you know what? I think his performance at this year's combine really helped him out a lot. He did just what he needed to do to, you know, let these officials know and these executives know that he's a gifted athlete. Now, we both know that his off-the-field issues is going to be a big issue when it comes to whether or not you want to draft this kid. So like you said, in the NFL, character is a big, big, big deal with them. And you know what? I honestly, from watching a couple of his interviews and reading a couple of articles on him, I really think that, you know, he's probably past that phase in life. I would give it to him and say that he was young and, you know, got a little big-headed, you know, a lot of fame early in his college career.
Correct.
Like when
correct.
We talked about last time and was you know, kind of straight off the path. But I really think if he really sees his future and what he can be in the NFL,
correct.
The dude can flat out ball from what I've seen. I've always been a fan of him because he's a smaller corner, but he has, like, elite athleticism. He also runs kick returns back, you correct. Know. So right there, that should give him an opportunity somewhere in the NFL if he's unable to get on the field at corner early. But, again, like I said, his pass is going to, you know, it's going to affect his draft status. But if it was me and if I was an executive in the front office, I would definitely take a chance on him. Maybe not in the first round, but he was there in the late second round, probably maybe third, then I would definitely, you know, pick him up.
So you see a guy like him, and as we talked about earlier in the show, we talked about the 6 foot defensive backs, and the Honey Badger, you know, is probably about 5'9" accurately when right. you see him. I've had an opportunity to see him here in South Florida. He's about 5'9". But he was his explosiveness, I think, caught a lot of guys by surprise because I didn't think they thought he was going to be that explosive at the combine. When, you know, I've trained a lot of top DBs in the NFL. And the one thing that I look at when it comes to the defensive back position. I look at your feet, because I always say your feet can get you out of jams that your speed can't help you out at all. So some people have quicker feet, and that was a guy like Al Harris. His feet were quicker than he was straight ahead speed. So his feet, especially if you're a press corner, you know, the guys, if you can jam a guy at the line and that quarterback was going to go there first and you jam him, okay, he's coming off that and that play is dead as far as coming to your side. This guy, he's a smaller type corner. Can he be aggressive enough with some of the bigger receivers in the game? That is, you know, and he's another guy that hopefully he'll probably have to go in some type of cover two type of scheme to where, you know, he has help over the top. And that way, if a guy try to, you know, they try to beat him over the top as far as with the guy's thighs, you know, they help. But I think his performance in Indy has helped his stock rise. Let's head to and what you got to say. Go ahead.
No, I said definitely. His performance that he put on this week, it definitely helped his stock rise as far as him being an athlete and with him coming off of 1 year of not playing football at all.
Correct. Now, I'm going to tell you that definitely. He did do his homework. He trained a lot during that time. He came to South Florida and he got his homework in and he trained himself and he was ready to go. He made sure that he know this was his interview. This was his job interview, but he made sure that he did his homework. Let's talk a little bit about Desmond Tufant, the cornerback out of Washington. What do you think about this young man?
Desmond Tufant?
Yes.
And that's, isn't he like the, he's related to Tufant that plays for Seattle right now, right?
Correct. Yes, that bloodline.
Sure I got my people right. But yeah, you know what? I think he's an excellent corner also. He has good speed. He has a little size, not a very big corner at all, but you know, I think he's going to transition over well to the NFL. I mean, he kind of reminds me of his, is that his uncle or his cousin or something?
That's his cousin. Reminds me of him. Yeah, that's a cousin of his.
Yeah. He definitely, I see the resemblance in their game. You know, if you watch their games, they kind of play, maybe not too fun now, but when he was early in his career, they have some of the same, you know, mannerisms out on the football field.
Now, you know, he ran a blazing time also at the NFL combine. He ran a 4.3, and a lot of guys are saying his performance in the Senior Bowl has elevated him to possibly being a late first round draft pick. He had a 37.5-inch vertical jump and a broad jump of 10.5. That's showing explosiveness out of this world. Explosiveness out of this world. Let's get into let's go to Florida State and let's talk about, let's look at Xavier Rhodes out of Florida State. A guy that's 6'1", 210 pounds. Here we go talking about a big corner. Ran a 4.43. You have any, what do you think a guy like this goes when it comes to the NFL draft?
I think he has a pretty good future in the NFL, too. I got an opportunity to see him play a couple of times this season. And he's one of those corners that he's not going to back down from anything. That's
correct.
The attitude
correct.
You need. You need at, you know, the cornerback position. He tends to forget plays. If he was to be beat, he tends to forget about it and move on to the next play. But I rarely see him get beat. He has very quick feet, like what you said earlier. He has those type of feet that he can get out of jams if he gets, you know, caught in some certain situation on the field. And I definitely think that he playing at Florida State, on top of that, you know, they play pretty good football over there at Florida State. You never really see too many slouches come out of Florida State, and they produce pretty good athletes. So I definitely think that he'll be, you know, he'll transition over to the NFL pretty nicely. I'm not sure exactly how high he'll get drafted, but I'm definitely going to see him next year suited up in somebody's uniform.
Correct. Now, I'm going to tell you, he put up probably some of the better numbers when it comes to the NFL draft. He ball jumped 11. And then he vertical jumped a 40.5, put up 14 reps on the bench press. That's impressive numbers when it comes to the NFL combine, to have those type of numbers at the corner, you are putting up some numbers. Now, let's not get away from this because we're talking corners. Now, I'm quite sure everybody is hearing so much that the Jets are talking about dealing Darrell Revis off to some teams. They're shopping them around. And if you understand, if you see, San Francisco is making some moves when it comes to the NFL draft coming up in April. They've already, you know, make a move where they're possibly looking at letting the Kansas City Chiefs acquire their second string quarterback, Alex Smith.
Right.
To get a second round draft pick. And then they're talking about looking at getting Darrell Revis. How do you think that elevates a guy like Darrell Revis going to San Francisco? How do that elevate their defense?
No question. That's not that question. I mean, Darrell Revis is coming off an ACL injury. So, you know, we have to see how well he moves, you
correct.
Know, if he has any setbacks as far as the knee injury. But the San Francisco defense, that's almost cheating almost. I kind of see it like. It'd be a great move for them at the end of the day because, you know, he's a shutdown corner, if not the best cornerback in the NFL. Before the injury. So if he can get back to anywhere where he was at prior to the injury, I definitely see him making a big impact on the 49ers. I mean, they really don't need much help. So with him coming in, that just kind of puts them over the top as far as a defensive squad. I'm not sure if the Jets are very serious about letting him go, though.
And that's what I'm talking about. Let's head to a commercial break here on the Tony Sands Show, and we'll get right back at you.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope hole. No food if you can't get your dope sold. My uncle just died and it can't be. Tell me this, who made it? I already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Stress get thick, but I won't fold. Devil hoping that I switch, but I won't go. Riding in my whip, I'm a lonely. Homicide on the Lord, where I'm gon' be. Swerve, but I take back control. Hometown looking back at the popo. Shots smell blood in the blue sea. In the streets, they'll kill for a Aussie. I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. Straight to the top, that's for show. Two clocks, two texts, and a fofo. Equipped for the snakes and the phonies. Even keep a close eye on the homies. These words come from my soul. My story had to be told. Let you see what I see and take you places I be. In my dreams I can fly. In the
flying high. In the Lord I confide, was made to be the light. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gonna walk, yeah, I'm gonna be prepared for the slaves that be hating on me. It was already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gonna walk, yeah, I'm gonna be prepared for the slaves that be hating on me. And I.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. Man, I'm telling you, we're having a great show. We're talking defensive backs in the NFL. And I'm going to tell you something. It's so ironic that we're talking defensive back because there are several defensive backs that have positioned themselves in a great position for the NFL, coming out of the NFL combine. And I just got a call from a defensive back coach in the NFL telling me about one of the guys that I work with and some of the things that he got to do. So when we hit the field tomorrow, buddy, we're going to work because this young man wants to make some money. B, and I'm going to tell you, that young man is Brandon McGee. He's making strides out of the University of Miami. He positioned himself very well for the NFL with his performance at the NFL Combine. Now, you got to understand, this guy is a guy that really only played corner steadily a year and a half. He played a little bit his junior year, and he played his senior year. So there is so much upside to this young man that is unbelievable, but he can go and he can fly. And he is a six-foot defensive back. So he's put himself in a great position. A lot of guys, he was on the NFL Network this morning. So, you know, when you hit the NFL Network coming out of the NFL Combine, people are talking. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly. Definitely.
People are talking. Let's get into a little bit before we close out the show. There's two other corners that are interesting that we must look at, and that's Jonathan Banks out of Mississippi State. Now, he didn't run so impressive, but his backpedaling was great. And that's what, you know, talking to the NFL coaches that coach the defensive back position, that's one of the things that they, you know, they talk about is your ability to backpedal. You must have a good backpedal unless you're going to, like I said, go to a team like Seattle. So Banks, I mean, he ran a 4.61.
Right.
10 reps. You know, now do that hurt a guy of his, you know, like him?
In a way it does, but at the same time, I don't really think it'll hurt him as much as people think it might. He's a good corner, and if you're a ball player, you're a ball player. And from what I've seen, Jonathan Banks, he's done his job on the field, and he consistently does his job on the field. And I don't think he'll have any issues as far as his play comes. But as far as that 40, yeah, that was a little subpar for a cornerback, especially if it's for a cornerback that you would expect to be a top flight cornerback. Then yeah, I would think that is pretty slow, but. Like I said, he's a gamer. He brings his game every time I get a chance to see him play on the field, and I think that he'll be just fine.
And like I said, he has another opportunity, people, to put on a stellar performance at his pro day in a few weeks. He will get another opportunity to elevate his game. But now, one of the top corners are coming out of your state at the University of Texas. I think his name is, what is it, Vicarno, Kenny Vicarno.
Right, Kenny Vicarno. He's actually a safety.
Yeah, right. He's one of the top safety. He is the top safety, as a matter of fact.
Right. Yeah, this kid right here is a headbanger, though. Like, he's one of those, his biggest weakness is that he doesn't wrap up on tackles. Mm-hmm. That's his biggest weakness. But at the same time, he brings a heavy blow, so a lot of time, he doesn't have to wrap up because he kind of knocks the guy to the ground with just how much force he's coming with.
Correct.
At that time, he's athletic enough to go knock passes away and intercept balls from the center field position.
Correct.
And he has great range as a safety. I'm not sure he can play. I honestly think he can play either free safety or strong safety with the way he tackles to be a strong correct. Safety and the way he moves to be a free safety. But I'm not really – it all depends on what team he goes to. But this kid right here is flat out – he's a flat out baller also. He can get out there and he make things happen. He's a head knocker from what I've seen this past season.
And that's what I guess at the safety position, and there you go, another position, depending on the team that you go to, it can make or break you. If you're a guy to where you're, you know, there's a team that you're going to, and this, and your safety's got to come downhill and smash people, he's going to fit in that position very well. Because, you know, like I said, he's at the safety position, so they're not expecting the safety to be blazing. He ran a 4.63, and like I said, he'll have another opportunity to make a stellar performance at his pro day. And a lot of guys do better at their pro days. Guys that run 4.3s, they don't even run again. They pretty much just work on their sports specific position at that time. And I think he's a young man that's probably going to wind up running his 40 again and have an opportunity to put on a stellar, stellar, stellar performance. And there's so many of those guys that are looking for that opportunity. But like I said, I was talking about Brandon McGee. This is another young man that now, guess what? I don't have to concentrate on my 40 so much. Now I concentrate on my sports specific. I concentrate on some of the things that I might have done wrong. And I can see a guy like Brandon McGee possibly in a couple areas, a couple teams that I think may take a look at him. You can't underestimate speed and that he has. And this is a guy that normally, I tell you, waking up, jumping out of bed, will run a 4.2 easy. He has been clocked at a 4.28. And I think, you know, this young man is happy with what he, as he told me, coach, you know, I'm happy with what I've accomplished. I'm happy with that. Now I want to make sure that I work on my skill set, because I know that's what guys are going to look at, because like I said, he is a raw corner that has so much upside. And that is my job, be to make sure that I get him that. So, you know, folks, like I said, we got into a lot of topics here. Me and my man B, man, it's always a pleasure to have you here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to close out our show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Man, in every time, man. Next week, we're going to talk. We may get into a little basketball. We may get into a little basketball, you know, football. But then we're going to talk about some teams' pro timing days, because those are right around the corner. But, man, B8, my pleasure. Love to have you here on the Tony Sands Show. Guys, we've been to close out this show. We talked DBs. Who's up? Who's down? We talked women. Are they taking over this game called football? We talked about, like I said, so many great topics. Folks, if you ever want to call the Tony Sands Show and charm in on this, take it. It's our pleasure to have you on the Tony Sands Show. Folks, as I told you earlier in the show, one of the biggest games here in South Florida so many people are looking at will take place this 2013 upcoming season. St. Thomas against Northwestern in Pro Player Stadium. I am closing with that, because that's what we need to close with. Keep it on your calendar here on the Tony Sands Show. See you next week. Same channel, same bat time. Let's roll out with our theme song, Rise to the Top.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.